talking about preparing for a spiritual battle. And I want to let you know ahead of time, this is a two-part lesson. I love this passage here in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul here is writing to us from a Roman imprisonment. He's being held captive in his first Roman imprisonment. And so you can just imagine or understand all the Roman soldiers that are standing around him as he's writing this letter. And so we can understand where he gets the idea or the illustration of the armor of God. And in telling us to put on this armor, he's telling us that we need to prepare ourselves. That we need to be preparing ourselves to face the wickedness in this life, the dark forces in this life, to face Satan. We need to be preparing ourselves to go to heaven. Heaven is a prepared place. But it's only a prepared place for a prepared people. The Bible says that nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination, no one who lies, will enter into its gates. Only those whose names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those who are prepared. And so in order to get to heaven, we're going to have to persevere through some struggles. Right? If we're striving to live faithful, if we're striving to live a life for Christ, then certainly we're going to attract Satan's attention. And he's going to try and put stumbling blocks in front of us. He's going to try and throw us off course. The Bible often refers to these struggles as battles. And certainly we as Christians wake up every morning and we fight a battle with Satan daily. And many times throughout the Scripture, the Bible will refer or compare the life of a Christian to that of a soldier. In fact, Paul would tell Timothy, endure hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. And just like any battle, it requires preparation to succeed. President Dwight Eisenhower, he was the commanding general in World War II, had this to say, in preparing for battle, I have found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. And I like that because that tells us that we're not always going to be able to look into the future. We're not always going to be able to know exactly what might lie ahead. But if we prepare ourselves, if we're constantly studying, then that's going to help us overcome whatever we face in life. Hunter Leggett, he was a major general in World War I. His main claim to fame was his preparation. It is said that before there was ever even any hint of a world war, that he was constantly studying and preparing for battle. His preparation helped him to rise above the normal tactics and strategies of battle and come up with practical solutions to the complexities of war. His personal preparation also reflected in how his units and how his soldiers were prepared for battle. Throughout his career, it was noted that Major General Leggett always succeeded because, as his colleagues noted, he just knew how to get the job done. And without a doubt, it was as a result of his preparation and as his study. Leggett himself once wrote, it behooves all officers of whatever grade to fit themselves by unceasing thought and study for the exercise of command. No one knows how soon his service may be urgently required in defense of his country. Much can be learned from an intelligent study of military history, and no one can be too well prepared for the great responsibilities of war. And no lesson in preparation is greater than for us as Christians who have entered into a spiritual battle with Satan. And so Paul here in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us some instructions for preparing ourselves for this spiritual battle. And the first thing that he tells us to do is put on the armor. In other words, take responsibility. The ball's in your court. You have to make a choice. You have to take action. You have to take the initiative. Put on the armor. It can be likened to that of a child, a little baby who's just been born. Now that little baby needs somebody to take care of him or her. You know, he has parents there to dress him when he wakes up in the morning and to feed him and to give him what he needs to survive. But as that baby grows and matures, that baby is going to mature into a person who's going to have to start taking responsibilities for themselves. They're going to have to start feeding themselves and dressing themselves. And the same thing is true with regards to our spiritual life. You know, the Bible says that the little children, well, they belong to the kingdom. They're innocent. They don't have any sin. But as a person starts to grow and to mature and starts to make sinful choices in their own life and sin starts to reign in their own life, well, then they have to take the responsibility themselves. They have to take the action to do something about that sin. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of God are clean, and all the ways of man are clean in His own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. James, in James chapter 2, verse 24, tells us that we're saved or justified by our works and not by our faith alone. And putting on the armor of God, it means that we have to do something. It means that we have to work. And when we put on the armor, we're taking the steps, the necessary steps, to prepare ourselves for battle. Second thing Paul tells us this morning is that he tells us why we are to prepare ourselves. Why we put the armor of God on. And the first thing is, he tells us in verse 11, is it helps us to stand firm. It's this idea of not yielding ground, of not backing down, of obtaining a certain type of strength, of gaining confidence in the face of adversity. The late, great Dallas Cowboys coach Tom Landry once said, "If you're prepared, you will have confidence and you will do the job." And so three times Paul implores us, stand firm, verse 11. Stand firm, verse 13. Stand firm, verse 14. The logic is inescapable. It's common sense. If you prepare yourself, then you're going to have strength to stand firm. You're going to have confidence. And you're going to be able to move and make progress on the battlefield without yielding ground. The second thing that the armor does for us is it helps us and keeps us from worrying. It helps us to avoid having to worry. You know, you think back to maybe a time when you were in school and maybe you didn't study or prepare yourself for a test that day, or maybe you showed up to school that day and forgot that there was a test, and you just had this sudden rush of panic and anxiety and worry that comes upon you. And the same is true for a soldier that goes into battle. A soldier that goes into battle unprepared, without maybe his sword or his shield, he's going to have a whole lot more to worry about than the soldier who's next to him who is prepared to fight that battle. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. So being prepared helps us to avoid having to panic. And then the third thing the armor does for us is it keeps us united. It keeps us all one. You think about it. If you put on the armor, and you put on the armor, and I put on the armor, well, then we're all going to start to look the same. It's going to be hard to tell us apart. It's said that in battle that the Roman soldiers would line up in one row, and they would take their shields, and they would stand them side by side. And then the soldiers behind them in a second row would take their shields and put them on top of their heads, creating this shell-like effect. And it helped them to be able to move forward on the battlefield without being pierced by spears and arrows. Excuse me. Being unified is important and should be important to Christians because it is important to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. One of the main reasons that the Romans were so successful in battle was that each soldier saw his fellow soldier as family. He viewed him as a brother. And the thought or the idea of retreating or leaving that brother on the battlefield by himself to fight that battle, it was unthinkable. It was unbearable. And so they stuck by each other's side, no matter what the cost was, no matter how bad things got. So preparing for battle will help us to fight unified, and it will help us to fight as one. And then verses 12 and 13, we prepare so that we can resist Satan. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness, and the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. We are in a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5 says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So Satan is a spiritual being. He's not some being that can be seized. He can't be cut down by a sword. He can't be shot with a gun. He is an enemy with many faces and yet only one identity. And his wickedness, his darkness, is carried out through spiritual warfare. And then the third thing this morning is Paul tells us how we are to prepare ourselves for battle. He tells us, gird your loins. Now the word loins here refers to the area around the waist. And gird means to tighten or to have one's garment fastened with a belt. And that's what the Roman soldiers would use their belt for. They would use their belt to keep all their armor fastened in, to keep it connected and tight against their body, which allowed them to move freely on the battlefield. It gave them a free range of motion on the battlefield. And that's what the truth does for the Christian. It sets us free. John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The belt was also responsible for holding all the soldier's equipment, all his armor and all his swords and his weapons. It was the center of the soldier's armor. And the truth needs to be the center of the Christian's life. It's what our whole life should revolve around. The truth is the Word of God. John 17, 17, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is truth." And so we need to be going to the Bible. We need to be going to God's Word to seek truth. It's something that needs to be heard, taught, obeyed. It needs to be loved, and it needs to be defended. The Bible says that Satan is a liar. And that's how he's going to try and attack us through this spiritual warfare. He's going to try and lie to us. And the way you handle people that lie is you face them with the truth. You bring the truth up and present it to them. And so Christians need to be fighting lies with the truth of God. Second thing Paul tells us to do is he tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now the breastplate for the Roman soldiers, this would have been a vital piece of their armor. This is the piece that would have protected their most vital organs. A soldier would not have even dared to have gone into battle without his breastplate. And the breastplate of righteousness for a Christian protects our most vital organ, and that's our heart. The term righteousness refers to doing what is right, doing what God wants us to do. Righteousness is what allows us to maintain that relationship with God. It's what allows us to maintain being able to be here and be in God's presence. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin." Remaining holy and separate from this world, remaining righteous, doing the things that are right, it's what allows us to be continually cleansed by the blood of Christ when we do stumble, when we do have that sin every now and then in our lives. And it's what allows us to maintain that fellowship with our Father in heaven. It is the heart of the individual that will determine whether he or she will remain righteous in God's sight. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 19, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and slanders." Christians are to protect their hearts by first preparing their mind to do that which is right, to do that which is righteous. And then the third thing Paul tells us, he says, "Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And it's always been interesting to me here that Paul uses the term peace when referring to armor, when referring to battle. And I don't know about you, when I think of war and I think of armor and weapons, peace is the last thing that comes to my mind. And also, when you think about the gospel and the effects of the gospel that it has had at certain occasions, it hasn't always been a peaceful result. You know, you think of a few instances in Acts where Paul would go into a town or go into a city and he would preach the gospel. And the result of that was right the opposite of peace. You know, when Paul preached the gospel, only two things happened. Either there was a restoration or there was a riot. So what does the term gospel of peace refer to here? Well, the gospel is the good news. It's the glad tidings. Romans chapter 10, verse 15 says, "How beautiful are the feet that bring that good news." So the gospel is the good news of good tidings, and we are to be covering our feet with it. And how beautiful are those feet who bring it. The peace here refers to the internal state of the Christian. Not the external, not the things that are going on around, but his internal state. The fact that no matter what happens in this life, that if we are prepared with the gospel of peace, then we can have peace. We can have that peace of mind. You know, we're all going to face struggles. We're going to all have battles in our life. Some battles are going to be worse than other battles. But as long as we're prepared with the gospel, it's going to help us to maintain that peace of mind. And then fourthly, he says, take up the shield of faith. The shield here that Paul refers to would have been called the shield of heavy infantry. It was a tall shield, a wide shield. The edges on it were curved and bent. The purpose of the shield was to protect the entire body of the soldier. And that's what our faith does for us as Christians. It protects our entire person. It protects our entire soul. Biblical faith is a mental acknowledgement of God. It's a recognition in the facts. It's a trust in God. It's a trust in His power. It's a trust that He will deliver on His promises. And then, it is an obedience to His will. It's submitting yourself to obey His commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we will keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our Christian faith prepares us to overcome lies. It prepares us to overcome doubt. It prepares us to overcome those sinful desires. And then the fifth thing he tells us is he tells us to take up the helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier would have worn their helmet to protect themselves from blows on the battlefield. Blows to the head that would leave a soldier disoriented on the battlefield, confused, lost in their direction. And that's what the helmet does for us as Christians. It protects us from having thoughts of disappointment and discouragement. It protects us from lethal blows, blows that leave us doubting our spiritual life. The Christian must take the opportunity to access the grace of God and the salvation that lies within Christ. It goes back to that peace of mind that we were talking about just a second, that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that if we are prepared and that if we are walking faithfully and righteously, that we have salvation. And then the final thing he tells us is he says to take up the sword of the Spirit. The sword used by the Roman soldiers would have been called the gladius. It was a shorter sword. It was used for thrusting or for piercing. And that's what the Word of God, the Spirit of God, is. It's a piercing agent. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as divisions of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." After Peter had preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, "Now when they had heard that they were pierced to the heart." But in order to use God's Word, we need to be using it in the right way. You know, training with weapons, you think about training with a sword. If you're not properly prepared to handle your weapon, well, when you get out on the battlefield, you're not only going to be a danger to yourself, you're going to be a danger to your fellow soldiers. And the same is true with regards to God's Word. We need to be handling God's Word the correct way, the way God intended for us to handle it, because it can be dangerous if we mishandle it, if we misrepresent it. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." James 3, verse 1, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." The implication here is that being a teacher, one who handles the Word of God is a great responsibility. God takes that very seriously. God wants His Word to be handled the right way, the way He intended for it to be handled. And we as Christians need to be studying our Bible, studying our sword, the Word of God, so that we can handle it the right way, with the right intentions, motivated by love, love for other souls. In conclusion this morning, Josephus, a Jewish historian, once made the observation that the reason that the Roman soldiers were so successful in their battles was that they were always prepared. Even in times of peace, you always saw the Roman soldier dressed in full gear, carrying their sword, carrying their shield, wearing their armor. Josephus said this, "Every soldier is everyday exercise, and that with diligence, as if it were in time of war, which is the reason why they bear the fatigues of battle so easily." And it's my prayer and hope that that can be said with the same regards to our spiritual life, to everyone who is here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't even put on the armor yet. Maybe you're not a soldier in Christ's battle. Maybe you're not a Christian. Why not seize the opportunity to take hold of that, to take hold of the grace of God, to know that Jesus loves you and that He will have you this morning, that God loves you. He wants you to be saved. We love you, and we would love nothing more for you to join this family and be a part of the kingdom, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus will have you this morning if you'll come believing, willing to repent, that is, to change your mind, to walk down the righteous path, to do the things that are right, to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be immersed, baptized in water, have your sins forgiven, Acts 2:38, raised to walk in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Maybe there's some who've taken off their armor. They once had it on, but they've taken it off and they set it aside. Why not put it back on this morning? Why not recommit? Why not make the most important decision that you will ever make in your entire life?